What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
We are live. Patriot Power Hour, October 13th, 2020. Ben the Breaker of Banksters, episode 114. Man, time is ticking. I can't believe October's halfway done, and we are really close to election 2020. Future Dan, my co-host, how you doing there, sir?
Yeah, we're under 500 hours to election.
Unbelievable. It's just come so close. I know everyone's in kind of like this paradox since COVID, where time's going so slow but so fast at the same time. Right now, I'm having one of those realizations. Holy crap, we are pretty much there. It's the 11th hour.
Yeah, and that's when everything really begins, right? Because the mail vote is so suspect. The rules changing. The pressure for all these jurisdictions to, you know, keep track of their votes or do what they will. It's going to be a hectic November.
Yeah, say the least. We're not really in the business of making predictions on Patriot Power Hour. We do try to read into trends and whatnot. But I think it's pretty clear that there's going to be some sort of dispute to the election. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We're going to have kind of a special on that topic. And maybe I'll pass to you to see if you want to expand on that a little bit. But I don't think election night or the day after it'll be totally decided. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll be a landslide one way or the other. But this is going to... It seems like it's going to be here quick and it's going to be over, but no, I think it's actually going to drag on until, as we've talked, mid-December or so, or even until Inauguration Day.
Yeah, well, it's 50 state elections, so it's not one election. And the crucial in the first 48 hours is all kinds of counting that is mandated by laws in different states, different ways. And the media filter that we're in right now, you know, the suppression of information is going to be massive. So it's going to, you know, it's going to be in the first days after the election, hectic. And then it's going to continue that way. So we're going to do a little special in a week or so before the election. We're going to have our ducks in a row and talk about step by step what are the vulnerabilities to our system. And, I kind of got motivated to put that together for you because on previous episodes of Patriot Power Hour, we talked, you know, you had asked the question, you know, will they cancel the election? That can't happen. Certain steps happen by federal law and constitutional steps, but at each one, there's risk. So we're going to get into that.
For sure. And like you said, we're actually going to put together a lot of research to do this. As you know, longtime listeners, Patriot Power Hour, we rely heavily on FutureDanger.com. for kind of our show prep, and all credit to Future Dan here, who curates and puts that all together. A huge task, spends hours and hours a week on it. But as you said, for this kind of special analysis, I'm going to be looking at it from a financial point of view generally, but some, you know, we're going to look at it from a prepping point of view. We are in the Prepper Broadcasting Network after all, and you're going to look a little bit more security, maybe geopolitically and constitutionally. That's why I kind of defer to you. You have a much better grasp on, I guess, the machinations of the Republic as it's put together in the Constitution, et cetera.
Well, I've paid attention to the Electoral College when it always happened, right? In most years of you know, except for with Bush and Gore, we haven't had a problem there. The Electoral College satisfactorily settled an election. That doesn't necessarily look like it's going to work this time.
We got two factors that are crazy this time. That are one of them totally unprecedented with COVID.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it was Romney versus Obama or, you know, Washington versus Jefferson or Adams or whoever, right? Listen, COVID is totally throwing things off. That's one hand. On the second hand, we do have pretty much everything coming together politically. That final battle, will Trump overcome, get that second term, really be able to enforce what he's been trying to do? Or are the Democrats going to knock him off and try to get back onto the route that Obama was bringing us
What
on?
Then? What then?
Well, then we'll have a lot more listeners probably on PBN.
4-year timeout for Trump while he reflects on what he could have done better. 4 years of absolute tyranny under a pandemic. 4 years of capitulation to other nations like we've never witnessed. And just the surveillance state flying into your life permanently or seemingly so. And then what? Make America great again, 2 and 4 years. To rip it all apart again.
I don't know, it might be too late by then. But, you know, I've also thought things would have collapsed by now financially. So maybe look at a little bit of a longer time frame. But what I'm saying, though, is COVID's going to make the election crazy. This is one of the most contentious in American history. I think that's pretty much on its face. Everyone would agree. Historians 100 years from now will be like, Biden versus Trump was pretty crazy in of itself. Okay? At least as crazy as Clinton and Trump. I mean, this is part two of the sequel. Maybe it's not as good as the original, but it's still pretty crazy. That by itself, with the social media and the mainstream media spin and propaganda and kind of trying to sow dissent in the system, combined with COVID, either one of those could make it a problem. Combine them, and I think it's almost impossible. It's not going to be heavily disputed, and both sides doing crazy stuff, but... I don't know. It'll be very interesting. So we'll try to do a little bit more research and have more cogent thoughts on that. Looking forward to that, though.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about what if Biden gets into office and succumbs to this disease, like within months, or any other disease.
Well, I almost feel like that's what they're using Biden for anyways.
He's a puppet.
Get in there.
He's a puppet.
Either Kamala Harris or someone else comes in.
Well, sure. It would have to be her if she's elected vice president. But we're going to get into scenarios where if there's no electoral college majority of 270 and it gets thrown to the House and Senate, those chambers elect the vice president and president separately. So a Trump-Harris or a Biden-Pence administration are not entirely out of the scenario.
Right. No, we'll have a few of those scenarios laid out. How does it affect you as the average person? How does it affect the trajectory of the country? And, you know, I don't want to give too many other spoilers, though, but you've been collaborating, I think, with some people.
It's going to be a for real talk. It's going to be, like, harsh realities to confront and look out for.
This. Let's just say that. We're not just going to get up
here. What I'm saying is it's going to be, you know, security-wise, what could go wrong step by step, and there's human points of failure. There's points of attack in the network that are human lives. And we're going to get real with it. Coming up, a couple weeks, Patriot Power Hour.
This stuff pretty crazy. So, yeah, episode 114 today, October 13th. As always, live, 8 p.m. Eastern. You know, not able to open the phone lines, but I think we're going to have an election night special with some phone lines and kind of build that up, too.
Yeah.
So I'm putting that out there. I just thought of it spur of the moment, but that's something to hold myself accountable for. So I'm going to pretty much write that down right on myself. I'll put a big old X. I'll remember what that means, right? We'll do that.
And a Bitcoin silver giveaway, right?
We'll see how things go. If Biden wins, I don't want to be giving away anything. I need every little piece I can get. I'm just kidding. We have given away some stuff. And by the way, speaking of silver and Bitcoin, we've given it away couple ounces here on Prepper Broadcast Network, and ever since I did that, silver's up about 25%. So
the winners made out well.
Yeah, absolutely. Dedicated audience out there. If you want to reach out, don't have a contest tonight per se, but I think I'll have to have another contest as well soon between now and election. But if you still want to reach out and you just want to say hi, or you want to give us some suggestions, some thoughts, maybe even just a question for us to read on air, et cetera, reach out to me on Twitter. I've had a few of you do this. It's been a great way to reach out. It's probably the best way. At Bankster Breaker. At Bankster Breaker. Reach out to me on Twitter. Where do they find you, Future Dan?
I'm part of your botnet, so they'll quickly find you if they find me if they find you on Twitter.
All right.
Yeah, Future Danger 6.
Future Danger number 6, for sure. So it looks like we're going to go into break here. I do want to make sure everyone knows to go to futuredanger.com right now to follow along. Heading into the news blitz. Got a pretty intense dashboard to go through, but we got a lot of other topics too. So what can I say? Stick with us. We got a couple new things coming up as well on the broadcast. Check us out, pepperbroadcasting.com. We'll be right back.
Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The 6 principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Power Hour. Time for that news blitz. Go to futuredanger.com. Follow along. Again, futuredanger.com, October 13th. News blitz. Let's start in the leftmost column. Liberty indicators. Instagram bans QAnon accounts but refuses to remove ISIS accounts that are celebrating 9/11. Big three networks censor a poll that show a majority say they're better off now than 4 years ago. And yet another article underneath the news blatantly censored indicator. Facebook bans ads questioning the safety of COVID-19 vaccines. So people that are actually paying to question the safety of a vaccine. Their own public service announcement, Facebook will not take part in that. They won't even make money off of that. Trending, thousands of shredded Pennsylvania mail-in ballot applications discovered in a trailer. U.S. Postal Service mail carrier arrested for dumping mail ballots. 50,000 Ohio voters receive incorrect absentee ballot. Federal judge blocks Texas governor order limiting mail-in ballot drop-off locations. And finally, Virginia voter registration site down on the last day to register. all these articles somewhat low level, but I mean, we are still a few weeks from election. We're starting to see all these, and these are trending, meaning they're getting a lot of activity from the viewer or the users of Future Danger using the algorithm. You can tell what are getting a lot of clicks, and these definitely are right now. After years of claiming it doesn't use facial recognition, the LAPD admits it has used it 30,000 times since 2009. So since 2009, LAPD has used facial recognition 30,000 times. Also in California, some California officials are toppling a giant Trump sign on the private property overlooking the freeway. A federal judge in Connecticut says holding cops are ahead sign is not free speech. Elementary school children are taught objectivity and perfectionism are racist traits. Public school is crazy these days. IRS investigated for using phone location data without a warrant. Wow, we're still cranking through this first column. We have so many in this Liberty column this week. And they're all pretty high level. Let's keep on going. I'm not going to read this because I'm sick of hearing about this guy, but it is important. People know the story. Facts come out. I called everyone in Jeffrey Epstein's little black book, just showing all the people that are associated with him. And yeah, there's a lot.
You did?
Orthodox Jews say they're being targeted by New York City lockdowns. They're actually in the street burning things. Grotesque math error on Treasury website misrepresents the interest on U.S. debt by 30%. Oh, man. New York City mayor threatens fines for mass gatherings and not social distancing. Future Dan, I just went through one column. I think I'm gassed out. I'm going to pass it over to you to keep on rolling on the dashboard, but that's a pretty insane Liberty column, one of the more voluminous.
That is a big one for probably the last three seasons. Or since probably March, we're starting to see that density of news, but you'd expect that with the election. Yeah, I'll do a security column. Chinese Coast Guard ship sailing into Japanese waters. We got a scenario here, a great article if you're interested in how an invasion of Taiwan might happen from China's side. National Security Advisor is warning China, warns of China to not attack Taiwan again this week. Okay. In Korea, North Korea rolls out biggest ever nuclear missile. This thing had an 11-axle transporter with a giant ICBM. It looks like it could put people into space that, and who knows if it's operational, but they're threatening. All right. And then the Chinese military accuses the U.S. of more provocative actions in the South China Sea. That's abroad. At home, we got an article squarely pointing the finger again at COVID-19 being an unrestricted bioweapon. That's the same Chinese virologist that went on Tucker Carlson. Another paper alleges large-scale organized scientific fraud. Unusual features on the genome suggest lab modification, not natural evolution. Whole backstory about how certain predecessor coronavirus were researched by a limited amount of Chinese researchers from the bats, and some of them could have been replicants planted by military intelligence, and basically the scientific back trail to them is impossible to determine now. Read it for yourself whether bioweapon was employed, but there's evidence that I have not heard a rational counter argument to yet. Michigan State Police arrest Wolverine Watchmen for allegedly seeking to storm Michigan State Capitol. This is since our last episode, Ben. Michigan governor kidnapped suspect later found to have attended BLM rally, called the president a tyrant. Another suspect in this same kidnap plot was pardoned for armed felonies by the Delaware governor last year. So it doesn't exactly add up to your stereotypical white guys in jeans militia look. Something else happened there. Rioting continues. The cop charged with murder of George Floyd was released on $1 million bail. Portland rioters topple statues of Theodore Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln. We got a Denver News security guard killing one person at a Patriot rally. Video is quite explicit. It's political violence. We're not going to take it much further tonight on that topic, but deadly political violence in American streets continues. 13 men charged with that alleged plot of the Michigan governor. We'll watch that news, how that all sorts itself out in coming weeks. Column three, over to you, Ben.
Let's do economics. Illinois set to borrow from the Fed lender of last resort facility for a second time. We've mentioned this many times on the show. Illinois coming closer and closer to bankruptcy. Well, they're borrowing from the lender of last resort, the Fed, again. One out of every five Americans should be out of money by election, could be out of money by election day. This is if no stimulus has taken place, if no paycheck protection program, et cetera, is continued. Top U.S. food bank warns of nationwide meal shortages over the next 12 months. On the unemployment side of things, we're still seeing more than 800,000 initial, these are brand new, initial jobless claims, 840,000 most recently. Certainly under the 4 million we were seeing per week in March, but still bleeding. That's how I look at it. Long-term jobless figures are rising as well, so not just the initial, but people that are off for multiple, I'm not sure exactly, I could go look in there, maybe that'll be something to do here. But if they're off, you know, 13-plus weeks, for example, they're considered long-term. Those are rising big time. Fed debt now projected to be larger than the American economy. We've been tracking that here on Future Danger as well, where the federal government debt-to-GDP ratio is well beyond the size of the economy compared to our figures, 136%. From what I recall, it was above 100% at the turn of the year, but it's definitely up big time in the last 6 months. 136% is what I'm showing here. And finally, 59 Americans, individuals, own more wealth than half of the nation, or let's say 175 million. So 59 Americans on one hand equals 175 million Americans on the other hand.
Recipe for socialism.
That's rough. We're still in the news blitz, so I want to talk about this a lot, actually, as well. There's tons to talk about. We may not even take a break the rest of this show. There's so much to talk about. Pass it off to you for that fourth column, and then we'll just keep hitting stuff. We got about half hour left. Let's just keep running.
It's pretty much all green like it usually is. We got birds flying into skyscrapers, volcano here and there. Software multinational company says by 2035, workers with implanted chips will have labor market advantages. So, you know, within 15 years. And, of course, coronavirus can live on the skin for 9 hours. American COVID-19 cases hit two-month high. 25-year-old Nevada man, first American confirmed to have caught COVID-19 twice. CDC admits 85% of COVID-infected people always or often reported wearing masks. So now we're getting into the narrative that masks never really did work. That's your column four, natural and scientific. Yeah, where do you want to go with any of this? Ooh. It's a big slate. There's a lot going on. And that's how more of it just continues to go on when you can't pay attention to it. It's like, you know, you're bouncing a basketball and trying to take shots in that contest for how many shots you can get on the clock, and everybody starts bouncing extra balls near you, and now you can't even shoot because there's just too many around you. It's just like, that's the news, and it's going to only build between now and November.
Absolutely. It's all kind of squeezing together, and really, there wasn't as much news the last 2-3 months, but that's changed. I think today, really, is one of the bigger changes.
We're not even talking about Supreme Court justice confirmation hearings, or 50 other...
That's a great point.
50 other, like, pieces of BS political rows that don't ultimately
rate. We hardly have talked about Trump even having COVID.
But we're not even talking about those things. Debates. Those things don't directly rate towards danger, threat, risk to our way of life.
For preparedness, for prepper.
Yeah, we're not talking about all that stuff either, and it's all going on.
We want to try to focus on some of the core issues and, some of the more threatening issues and trying to see those trends. So where to start? Like you said, I'm trying to shoot a three-pointer here. Just got hit in the face. Someone passed one to me. One thing I do love about our show every single week, is I kind of am able to go back to articles I saw 3, 4, 5, 6 days ago that I didn't fully digest and totally went through the news cycle. And there's a couple on here that I really want to talk about. The biggest one, and we touched upon the first paper, but COVID-19, unrestricted bioweapon, the Chinese virologist from Hong Kong turned whistleblower, coming out with even more damning evidence that it's a bioweapon that is man-made.
At a minimum, she's making scientific claims that no one will even do a study to refute in any intelligent way. It's entire religious-like dark age behavior. It's like, you know, Inquisition-type fear of saying something that gets you blackballed or blacklisted. There's no science going on worldwide, because how else could you make a claim that this genome shows that it can't have evolved naturally and have no one come out and be like, you know, this is wrong because of this evidence? Yeah. What you'll get is a CNN analyst quoting a scientist that says that, in some authoritarian way, but without any substance, that is to be ridiculed and not considered valid with no evidence.
Right. Talking point is kind of distract you, then you'll forget.
That's happening.
And I feel like that's exactly what's happened with the financial system over the years.
Sure.
It's not even more corrupt, but now it's happening in all these other areas. Here's my question. You posed this to me, and it's a tough one. How do the banksters kind of collaborate at that high level and have that much control? Do they really have that control? Is it possible to really control the economy and the top down? Well, the scientific community, shouldn't there be other whistleblowers or other researchers? And there have been a couple. But shouldn't people come out of the woodwork to support or refute that? And more importantly, refute it? Or is the scientific culture really that locked down and it really is possible for kind of a small cabal to take over?
Well, how much private science is being conducted?
Very little. Most of it's public university or, you know, foundations.
Right. Or government research. Government-funded research. Exactly. So of course, you can't bite the hands that feeds you.
Yeah.
Same thing with climate science, right?
Oh, all of it. Anything. And any student of science, and I consider myself that, I've been through a lot of, at Purdue, went through many scientific courses, actually. I transferred over to business before I went into pharmacy, I'm not going to lie. But I did a lot of scientific, and what you learn, and just from history, is there's always that elite and kind of the system that tries to hold that scientific value and ridicules and oppresses information, whether it's chemistry or physics or Galileo and all that stuff, right? And this is just kind of that next level. And it's more, you think, oh, there's social media and there's so many more people involved. There's no way they could repress that, but it seems like they're doing that. Well, with just 21st century version of what they did in like the 15th century or something, right?
Well, they're paying attention to mass opinion, right? Big numbers of global population. What do they generally believe, or what do they choose to not even take seriously? Really? It's not about believing in 2020. It's like, what are all these things I choose not to take seriously? But science, as practiced in your civilization, wherever you are in the history of, you know, human civilization, how well you practice science and how open it was made a big difference to whether you were in a dark age or you were right in an enlightenment.
And civilization could expand or survive other attacks from other civilizations too.
Or just during, you know, the dark ages in Western Europe, it was not a great time for any part of Europe or Asia or Africa. Except, you know, Arabia obviously did the mathematics in that time, but generally speaking, it was dark period. It took centuries to come out of it. Now, we go into things awfully fast now, so maybe we get to enlightenments faster, too. But when your entire scientific establishment can't confront the possibility that a bioweapon was unleashed and is having devastating effects in liberty, in security, in financial economics, not to mention just in health, right across the board, to not talk about it or to be deemed like fringe, marginal, can't be accepted because you're asking the question, super dangerous.
It is super dangerous. On the flip side, there might be loosened their moral authority because I think people are going to get wise to this, at least people that try to be free thinkers or critical thinkers. My point is, I think a lot of people will be like, yeah, obviously it's bioweapon. Like, even people that aren't, quote, conspiratorial, will be like, yeah, that makes sense, it's a bioweapon. They may not take that next step and be like, who released it? Why did they release it? When did they release it? And think that's kind of a conspiracy. They might, oh, it was just an accident, or these things happen. You know, with bioweapons, it's just, it's an accident, a military accident somehow.
Well,
but they don't go to the next step. But there are a lot of people, in my opinion, that would believe this story. But then there's like that mental block where the cognitive dissonance, where they won't go beyond that.
It's too horrifying for them to contemplate.
Yeah, like turns off their brain almost.
Yeah,
which is crazy. I have blind spots.
It gets us more of it in the long run, though. Okay. You know,
that's definitely true.
Like more of it, more bad news comes because of that shutdown feature of app-addicted mobile phone culture. Just your attention span's too small, you know, too short for you to let it, you know, sink in and change the way you approach life. But if you're doing preparedness and listen to the other shows in this network, your head's pointed in the right direction, because some of this stuff that's too horrifying to contemplate could be happening in spades by 2021.
Yeah, and people will just be in shock, or when they turn off, you're essentially in shock. You're just like, okay, whatever. Let me go play my video game. Like, there's a lot of people that do that, and I'm not. I'm semi-guilty. You know, I do my radio show and try to be active and try to prepare. But even myself, I don't do that every single day. Sometimes I'm like, I can't handle this stuff anymore, man. I just want to turn it off. So everyone's kind of susceptible to it. You just got to fight it as much as you can. But what does that mean if COVID is bioweapon? And you know, are people gonna do anything about it? I mean, that's a pretty crazy question in of itself. So
it's almost unsolvable. We put down the paradigm on Patriot Power Hour in March. Is it natural or man-made? If it's man-made, was it accidental or deliberate?
Decision tree almost.
And if it was deliberate, who did it? Chinese communists, or did somebody do it to them?
Said like Russia was framed them, maybe.
I'm sure that they think they've already told their people we did it to them.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. China said that we did it to frame them.
Yeah, well, that's what you tell a population that's slave-like. You might want to use them for war, right?
Absolutely. I mean, no, any of that is on the table. We don't claim to say that we know that stuff, but look at those permutations. Look at those high-level decision trees, and that's what I like about Future Danger. We can kind of just zoom in on one or two of these articles and get to the, I'm not going to say the crux of the situation, but that mental block teasing that out. And how can you get over it yourself or your family? Like, that's probably just as hard as anyone. Like, if you're a prepper, how are you going to get your wife or your kids to buy in? Or maybe your wife will be like, oh, yeah, let's have, like, a few months of extra food. Ha ha, that's fine. That's cool. But will they prep for a much worse situation? That's a lot harder. So maybe you can convince them, but they won't take that next step because they have that mental block of fear or just, flight or fight. You got to get them into the fight, not the flight, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm much more focused on the skills and the mental fortitude aspects of it than necessarily the materiel. The materiel, you could anticipate shortages, shutdowns. You should anticipate losing power at any time, right? And you should anticipate how temporarily, at least, supply lines will reconnect. How to get ahead of that and how to acquire the materiel that you're going to want is one thing. Not saying it's easy to buy a lot of stuff at the last minute, but I don't see anything on the dashboard tonight that says this is it. Get to the bolt hole. Shut the bunker door. Start eating from your stocks.
Right.
We're not there yet. But you should be able to see major steps that could bring it about at any moment. And I'm sure people that have invested in the materiel would argue, well, that'll happen at any moment. I'm more focused on the skills. If you haven't prepared the wide array of skill sets that are talked about in this network, and then we go without rule of law or excessive rule of law or down the slippery slope and roller coaster into and out of those states as our republic gets destabilized, yeah, you're going to have a hard time.
You're going to have a bad day. Moving on. I mean, there's some of the other articles, to be honest. Let's move to a different column, though. I'll leave economics be for now. I want to focus on this crazy first column, the Liberty column. I'm seeing 9 indicators, and probably within that 16 articles that are orange level or higher. So one of the most threatening levels here at Future Danger is color-coded by danger. Makes sense. Crazy amount of volume, and it's severe, and it's spread out all different types of angles. What are we seeing here?
That column always runs hotter than the rest of them.
Always?
No, economic column in March sure did.
And yeah,
that economic column blew them all away for a while. I guess if we got into an actual shooting war, the security column would, you know, dominate. But
or political violence, but you're right.
But in the meantime, just the steady decay, and you know, keeping an eye on what, you know, all those election anomalies doesn't mean the elections are being stolen. What it means is the opportunity to steal elections is rising, right? So, you know, you tend to see that right before elections.
And this is what we're also seeing is, I think people need to keep in mind all the different attacks on liberty and freedom of speech and Bill of Rights, et cetera, just human rights in general. There's all different types of it. There's unreasonable search and seizure. There's freedom of religion. There's peaceful assembly. There's free speech. All of this, privacy, electronic and otherwise, all these are being attacked in different ways. So you can, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, there's coronavirus and there's COVID, and that's a huge deal. But there's so many other side effects and agendas being pushed just in kind of the liberty freedom area, let alone obviously the pandemic, the vaccines, economics, crazy stuff with COVID. A lot of this is COVID-related. Not all of it, but a lot of it is, or COVID's giving them an excuse to,
it's bad.
Normalize search and seizure,
for example. It's bad enough to have the rioting and the brutal political violence indicators active all the time now.
Yeah, those are mainstays of the sector.
Yeah, now. We didn't used to have that, right? First 3 years of Trump, and even before that with the previous president, you had the Fergusons and you had the Baltimores, but you didn't have it go on and on and on. We're in a totally new phase.
We are, and unfortunately, probably coming off of a lull from the last couple of months. Obviously, it spiked in May into June. So, I think of these, I know it's trending and it's high level, but this is another almost mental block where the LAPD has claimed for years and years you're a conspiracy theorist if you said that they use facial recognition. But now they're admitting that they've used it 30,000 times since 2009. And
that's tyrannical.
Everyone's like, of course. I think most reasonable people would be like, well, that makes sense. We all know that. Most people are like, we know about Snowden. We know about all different things. But do they go that next step and either fight against it, number one, or number two, think of why is that a bad thing? Maybe because it's super easy for you to get framed now. They can put some fake data in there. Yeah, if I don't do anything wrong, then you can use my face. That'll prove I'm innocent, right? Hell no. Like, there's reasons we have this, even though there's 21st technology behind it. 21st century technology
But the people that think that way, it probably will never happen to them because they're not speaking out. They're not standing up to power. They're not holding anybody accountable. They're not a journalist. They're not running for office as an outsider. They're not a dissident in any way, right? So, of course, they're not doing it to you. You don't
act that way. You are going to have a society where no one can act that way. And then what happens? Nothing gets checked, right?
This is one of my biggest problems with democracy. Democracy is highly overrated because the great majority of people don't do jack or slobs and will vote to take your dinner. So that's why I like republics a lot more.
Vote to take your dinner.
Yeah. So this is not cool. That's why I don't want to go on my soapbox, but popular democracy is heavily overrated in my book. Back to Liberty column. Some more democracy coming through. More and more people seemingly voting for this, I guess. I don't know. But we're having elementary school children taught just all different types of stuff. This particular article, that objectivity and perfectionism are racist traits. But we've seen a lot of different articles over the, we're coming up on 3 years on air with Patriot Power Hour. A lot of different articles of kind of that that public school propaganda. Let's actually click and do a little bit of a deep dive even.
This one doesn't launch often, but when it does, it is what it is, so it's brightly colored.
Does the average person believe this, I suppose? And number two, is this really even the purview of the government?
Does the average person know what objectivity and perfectionism, words mean?
No, but they have the same voting right as someone who's informed.
Yeah. Well, there's
I'm not 100% anti-vote. I want to, like, take it away. Like,
there's no real better way to do it, though.
I'm not, like, pro-poll tax.
How do you do it better?
That's a good point. So these are important questions. We're only humans, so we try to make up these systems.
Mandatory DNA testing at the polls to see if you have, you know, a functioning brain. Like you can actually, you're healthy mentally.
Nope, that would definitely be abused.
Yeah, it would. So how can you do better than this?
You just have to have certain ground rules that cannot be breached, no matter if 99% of people vote for it.
There's never been a society where everybody agreed to not breach anything. There's always the idiots who, because it's the thing you're not supposed to breach, you breach.
Right. Well, if 99% of people vote to take your guns, they should still not be able to.
Well, of course not. That's before government's founded. We don't give up our right to be armed. That's a priori. That's before there's a state. There's that, and I got it. It's that. Yeah, we're not voting on that.
Exactly. So that's what I like to point out to people. I know it can go into rabbit holes real quick. Especially if you start bringing up Second Amendment, then people will totally get off the chain on that. But anyway, I kind of wanted to relate.
We'll be talking about it a lot next year.
Public school, like, you would think the public schools would be the most, not controlled, but most influenced by local politics. And what I mean is the parents should be involved. And if they don't agree with someone, they actually have it. Their vote would matter by going to a PTA or being involved with this council or whatever, right?
Don't be so sure that wherever this elementary school happened to teach that objectivity and perfectionism are racist doesn't have a large percentage of its parents who are cheerleading such idiotic things. This was Virginia, actually, wasn't it?
It is in Virginia. I'm not sure which part, but interesting. Very interesting. Maybe I'll go check this real quick if I can find it. Fact check live on air. I guess, yeah, it could be two ways. Okay, well, this looks like it's in the Northern Virginia, outside, wealthy area.
Wealthy outside D.C. idiocy getting taught in school.
So this is actually kind of that, kind of preparing the children for their Ivy League education of social engineering.
It would be, Fairfax, Virginia would be an incubator for ridiculous social justice type neo-Bolshevik.
I mean, their parents were
lies like this. Like, so objectivity is racist. It can't possibly be, right?
It can be whatever you want. It can be a purple
pill. In Fairfax, Virginia, apparently.
So, I don't know. I don't have children, but it would be so hard to trust public schools these days. Keep on moving, though. We're running low. Only 15 minutes, maybe even less. We got to make room for the Next Generation show here on Prepper Broadcasting Network. No commercials this last 45-minute segment or so, because we had so much freaking news and only a few weeks until the election. We're doing pretty good, though. We're hitting a lot of different topics. What else? What do you got? You're up. Pick one. We'll hit it.
You wanted to get into the 59 wealthy people owning more than half of the countries, you know, equal to half of the rest of us. Where's that take us when that, you know, that if you want to herald in the Fabian socialist, you know, gradualist approach to total societal control, do you not use the capitalist system to acquire the wealth, exacerbating the hatred of the wealthy in how you act and how you operate? Soros, Bezos, mm-hmm. ring a bell.
All the friends.
Zuckerberg. And then what? I bet you all three of the guys I named are in that, you know, top 59, that's right?
True. Yep. Here's my statement. I'll try not to get too deep in the weeds, but I got my degree in economics and my degree in finance. And one of the first things you learn is that in a perfectly functioning free market economy, there is no excess rent, meaning there is no profit. Because in a perfectly functioning economy, if demand goes up, supply will also come up. Now, that's not always possible. The supply of oil can't always increase. So it's not always a perfectly competitive open market. But in a lot of things it is, or it should be. However, when that cronyism and the government influence, working with the government or just buying out the government, when that happens...
Regulatory capture.
Yeah. You see a lot more concentration of that wealth.
Regulatory capture is what it's called.
It's totally... If certain people benefit a lot and work their way, get lucky as well, make some wealth, get some of those excess rents and become wealthy off of that, makes sense because there's no such thing as a perfectly competitive free market in the best of the worlds. However, there's so much of that regulatory capture and just outright banksterism and corruption at the core of essentially every industry that it just concentrates that wealth much, much more than, quote, capitalism would. That's why it's kind of crony capitalism, or what do you call it? Neo-Bolshevikism, essentially.
But what we're talking about, what you're talking about right now, Rush Limbaugh can never talk about, Hannity, Mark Levin, no of the opinion people on Fox. Perhaps Carlson would get around to it eventually, mm-hmm. the more true it becomes. But it's like, while capitalism's under assault by their political opponents, you can't ever analyze it and say, it's not even capitalism anymore.
Right.
It's cronyism. It's corporatism. Oh,
yeah. Definitely. No, you can't.
This is a third way in American politics. It is a... Is I guess it's harder to understand. That's why so few do.
I try to just look at it almost from a math point of view, like a math problem. Like, what would make so much of the wealth, where half of the wealth would congeal around 59 individuals? Is it because they're so smart and they brought so much interesting and innovative technology to the world? Some of them, yes, to some degree. Amazon does great service, but does Amazon do anything so much differently than some of their competitors? Well, a lot of what they have is that economies of scale, and they've been able to leverage their real estate and their overall mass. Trust me, their warehouses and all the tax revenue is massive. They're able to force jurisdictions into so much. We saw it with headquarters, too. They had so many concessions coming from Brooklyn and all these other... tens of millions of dollars in public taxpayer incentives for Amazon. Do you think if I started a company that tried to challenge Amazon, I'd get even close to that? Hell no. So that means, so Bezos has an unfair advantage. You could say, yeah, he was the first mover. He came up with it. Fine. Maybe he deserves some of that money.
It's Milan.
Not all of that by any means, though.
It's near monopolistic power. It's exactly. It's a trust.
It's a scale of how monopolistic is it?
We had trust in this country at the turn of the 20th century, right? And that was broken up with Sherman Antitrust Acts. But to do that, it had to give a ton of power to the federal government to prosecute it. They broke up AT&T into the baby bells. I mean, it's been done before. But the political willpower to do it is only there insofar as whatever you break apart will come concentrating back together in an entirely new way, avoiding all the laws that you just passed. And who gets rich on that new, like, explosion implosion dynamic in regulatory capture?
How do you get rid of it when it's just that many people who not only are corrupt, but so many more who expect it all to be corrupted and go along with it?
Well, that's the slow burn. And
yeah.
That's the real, like, hard momentum to change. All the undercurrents and building up of not trusting it, but everything's still functioning. But once that, like, it pops, you cross the Rubicon, you can't just, like, undo it. Toothpaste out of the tube, you know? You can't just reverse that. And, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking Monopoly. You're right. It's really, think of it as a scale. The best outcome would be that, generally speaking, the wealth is shared based upon your effort and skill. We're not just saying give everybody free money. Because that's monopoly. That's the most extreme monopoly is the monopoly of the state.
It's just a different kind of monopoly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's the worst kind, actually.
Right. So you can say, oh, we want everyone to be even. Let's give all the power to the state. Well, now it's a monopoly. Not everyone's even. It's totally, yeah, that's the, like, division, like, just Excel error. Like, you try to program them to Excel, which is breaking Excel. So
all the Bernie bros are defined by not getting that.
On that scale, when you say that 59 people equal half of the rest of the population, we're pretty damn close to one. That's pretty close in terms of a ratio to a monopoly, at least for those people, let alone the government. I bet the government's worth the other half. So we got 59 people and the government pretty much run, you know, are worth every other American's worth. And have that much power. That's what it breaks down to, the way I look at it.
Well, maybe not top 59, but the top 10 grand.
Top 10,000 people, you mean?
Top 10,000 wealthiest?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, think of the government and all everything that government does is one entity. And then these 59 people, that's 60 people. How much of the wealth is contained in that? And by wealth, I mean debt spending for the government.
Exactly.
That's like the entire nation right there.
So,
unfortunately.
You know, the
so we are on a monopoly socialist already.
Graduate level economic education that I received.
Heavily, that was undergrad. Though. That was 101.
I'm taking it up the next level. Okay. At the international policy level, the Gini coefficient, a measure of income inequality, not wealth inequality, in a particular state, was one of your common, social developer, metrics that would be thrown around about how, Western developed countries owed it to impoverished nations to help improve life because Gini coefficients were so horribly out of whack all throughout the third world, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's coming home.
Good point. Yeah, it's way worse there. You'd have like 1% of people making a living wage, everyone else poor, destitute, dying. At least in America, you had, 50% of the people making.
When you talk about the third worldization of the United States, that piece of news on our heat map tonight that we talked about is that.
Well, it's death by a thousand cuts. They're trying to. You got people overdosing in the drug epidemic. That's taking people in America down a notch. You got the debt spending and just poor management by people that they deserve it themselves. They're pissing away their America's wealth. But then you have the importation of the third world, for lack of better terms. I mean, just bringing this many people at once, a lot of them not looking to join the smorgasbord, to join the melting pot.
They don't know any better.
They don't know any better. It's a system. We all know this. And I've said it out loud multiple times. My wife was born in Nicaragua. So guess what? You can't use the racism card on me. I'm sorry. Well, maybe you can. You can still try, I guess. But my point is, when they're bringing them in, these caravans coming in, and these people don't know better, and they're using them as a political block, well, that's the other aspect of the third, kind of the third worlding of America.
What's the border going to look like in March if Biden wins?
Man, that's really scary, really. I don't know. They're going to be, as soon as he gets put in, they're going to be bringing up a couple more caravans for sure.
That's actually a dilemma, right? Because coming to the country that handled, in their view, COVID-19 worse than anywhere else, and it's so deadly, so dangerous, they are going to have to do a mental gymnastics of a massive magnitude just to get so many other policies that they want in place. And how can you or they'll just look one way and do another thing and have, you know, they're happy with cognitive dissonance for the most part. That's some of that craziness is coming next year.
Oh, for sure.
If he takes that White House.
Oh, definitely. It's still, they're going to, even if Trump retains, they're going to try to pull some of that and bring that pressure, humanitarian crisis, I'm sure.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
All right, go ahead. We only got like a minute left, so go for it.
What happened to all the mass shootings? Where'd they go?
I haven't really seen any. Definitely nope, not like true mass shootings like we saw under Obama's reign. No, dozen
school shootings, AR-15 shooters.
No school shootings.
AR-15 shooters. Where are they?
COVID, but you know, people still can do that, obviously.
Why do those things come in waves, and how are they connected? Are they being to have big pieces of time where it never happens?
Hey, man.
Suspicious to me.
Try to crack this conspiracy theory with 90 seconds left in the show.
No, I'm not. I'm not theorizing.
Deep into it. I want to go deep into it. There's so much there, but we don't got time.
Suspicions.
You got suspicions? Yeah. Well, we know a lot of this stuff is agenda, but
I suspect you'll see more next year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well,
unfortunately.
Chalk that one up, boys and girls.
We do make predictions. That's not a prediction. It's a suspicion.
All right. Well, guys, that does end it for the night. We did it. Episode 114 in the bags. Just a couple more weeks. A couple more episodes till the election. Future Dan, it was fun, man. We did it. Have a good rest of your week, sir.
Yeah, you too. Good show, Ben.
Good show.
Margaritas by swinging blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?